And here we are. It all comes down to this. Tied ball game, no time left on the clock. With one more point, they'll pull out the win. Here's the snap. Holder puts it down. The kick is up. And the extra point is good. The NFL exporter has done it again. Everyone out there, it is the NFL Exporter checking in. You are listening to The Extra Point, and we got a great show as always this week. Week 5 around the NFL, fantasy football. I was very interested. Had quite a few surprises, and then definitely some games where things just did not go according to plan. And then, of course, if you have Peyton Manning, you never know what you can expect from this guy, but 300 yards passing and 3 TDs. This guy will get in his sleep. Anybody who had any debates about Manning being a number first-round draft pick, I'm quite sure he put that to rest yesterday. The call-in number to the show is 347-637-3220. I'd love to hear from you out there. Tell me how things went for you in your Week 5 matchups in fantasy football. Certainly, like I say, got a great show. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. All right? And so let's go ahead and get the ball rolling, taking a quick look around the scores that we had from yesterday's game. And we're first going to get into the Chicago Bears. They played at the Carolina Panthers. And this was a game in which we've seen Jay Cutler throw a pick six to start things off for Chicago, get them going in the wrong direction. But then Chicago came back and scored 21 unanswered to go up 21-7. Ultimately, it was Chicago not being able to run the football effectively enough to hold on that allowed Carolina to come back and get the victory in this one, 31-24. When we take a look at what happened for the Chicago Bears in this one, we've seen that, again, Jay Cutler, this guy certainly is good for fantasy football. You'll certainly have to live with the interceptions that he continues to throw. And those three losses that Chicago has this year, Cutler has two interceptions in each of those ball games. And I tell you, it really hurt Chicago. But as far as fantasy football is concerned, Jay Cutler was very effective yesterday in his game. And you certainly would expect him to be that every week with the weapons that he has around him. In Chicago now, wide receiver Brandon Marshall is not at 100%. When he gets back healthy, you're certainly going to be looking for him to bolster that offense some more. Nonetheless, Cutler 289 passing yards, 2 touchdown passes, also ran in the touchdown. That was good for 21 points. When you look at running back Matt Forte, this guy is an all-purpose monster. I'm shouting out my man Eldon Jensen over who gets with me on Twitter. Matt Forte is running back. I told him after those tough matchups against San Francisco in the Jets' run defense that Forte's rest of his schedule the rest of the way is very, very favorable. Last week, Forte had over 100 yards on the ground against Green Bay. Came back this week against Carolina, and Forte gave you 67 yards on the ground but caught 11 passes for 105 receiving yards and a touchdown. And so Matt Forte continues to be a beast in fantasy football, and especially in PPR leagues. Again, you got a running back who's catching 11 passes. I think until Brandon Marshall gets back healthy, you're certainly going to see Forte continue to be even more of a part of a passing game. That is certainly what he already is. When you look at the wide receiver position, after battling some hamstring injuries the first couple weeks, Alshon Jeffrey is back fully healthy. This is the third straight week that he's been very productive. He got off to over 100 yards a few weeks ago against the Jets. Last week he had a touchdown against Buffalo, and this week he had 97 yards and a touchdown. So it certainly looks like Alshon Jeffery is starting to round into form. Brandon Marshall, only 3 catches for 44 yards. And Martellus Bennett, you knew that he was going to slow down after the stellar start that he got off to yesterday. Carolina did a good job bottling him up. He only had 3 catches for 17 yards. When we take a look at what happened for the Carolina Panthers, of course they didn't get anything on the ground. I don't care what running back is in there. Carolina just is not set up to have an effective running game. And so it's going to be Cam Newton. And that certainly bodes well for owners of Greg Olsen, as well as rookie Calvin Benjamin, who are really the only 2 targets that Cam Newton is going to look to hit. Yes, he has Jason Avant and Jericho Koshri, but those are more possession-type receivers. Now, Cam Newton, yesterday, 250 yards, 2 TDs, certainly got you a couple yards on the ground. But Greg Olsen, let's talk about him for a minute. This is a guy who came into this year as a top 5 ranked fantasy football tight end, and rightfully so. You already knew that Olsen had been getting a ton of targets coming into this season in his first 2 years over in Carolina. You knew that once Carolina basically revamped their wide receiving core, basically getting rid of everybody, Cam Newton had all new receivers or targets in the passing game with the exception of Olsen. And so you know that he was going to be a viable part of that offense, and he certainly did that yesterday, 72 yards, 2 touchdowns. That was good for 19 points. And Calvin Benjamin, I will say this. Yesterday, he only had 3 catches for 38 yards, and he had a fumble. And I own him in one of my leagues. Obviously, 1 point is not what you want to see from one of your main weapons on your team. But I will say the silver lining in his stat box yesterday was he had 11 targets. And so even though Cam Newton was only able to complete 3 passes to him, and again, he fumbled, which dropped him down to 1 point, he did receive 11 targets. And so you're certainly going to have to continue to roll with a guy who's going to get that much action. Again, in the passing game where out in Carolina, that is going to be the way that they're going to have to move the football. And whether they win or lose is going to be irrelevant. Kelvin Benjamin is a guy who's certainly going to continue to put up good stats for you on a weekly basis. Just had a rough game yesterday after scoring touchdowns in 2 weeks in a row. And that's a trend you have to watch for in fantasy football. If you have a player who has scored maybe 3 straight weeks or has really had some great games, and we certainly mentioned that to about Martellus Bennett yesterday as well. This week as well with the fast start he got off to. You have to temper expectations sometimes. Understand that these players are not going to be able to produce the stellar numbers on a week-in and week-out basis. Every player has a couple off games. So that was that. Taking a look at our next game, it was the Cleveland Browns playing against the Tennessee Titans. This is a game here that's seen Tennessee get off to a fast start. Kendall Wright for the Tennessee Titans was fantasy football relevant for the first time this year. He had 90 total yards, really 40 on the ground. That's going to be about 45 on the ground, 45 in the air, but 2 touchdowns. That was good for 20 points yesterday. But their struggles are going to continue as far as the quarterback position is concerned. Jake Locker was hurt again. In came Charlie Whitehorse. Another guy who finally got on the map for the first time this season, Justin Hunter, the other wide receiver for Tennessee, had 99 receiving yards and a touchdown. That was good for 15 points. But the main struggles that you're going to continue to see for this Titans team apparently is they can't get the running game going. And I'm very surprised about that considering they have one of the top 5 to 10 run blocking offensive lines in the NFL. But again, when you're so – I have a quarterback who's so incapable of passing the football, you're going to have that happen. Bishop Sankey in his first start, only 8 carries, 27 yards. Sean Green had 11 carries for 36 yards. So it doesn't look like either one of those guys are going to be good for your team right this very moment. When we turn it over to the Cleveland Browns, Brian Hoyer continues to play good football. And I'm going to put this out there right now because this absolutely drives me insane. When you have a top quarterback, let's say a guy like Matt Stafford yesterday, somebody like Nick Foles, guys who obviously have more talent on their team. And granted, I know that the Bills defense is playing lights out right now. I know that Matt Stafford is without healthy Calvin Johnson. I certainly understand that the Eagles offensive line is banged up, so they're not at 100%. But when I'm seeing a guy like Brian Hoyer come out here and passed for 292 yards and 3 touchdowns. It kind of gets at me because I'm saying to myself, here I am spending, and it was 1 week of work, and again, there are extenuating circumstances, but hell, I even throw at you Kyle Orton in his first start yesterday, and he's playing a very stout Detroit Lions defense in Detroit, and he can come out and pass for 308 yards and 1 touchdown. So I know for a lot of my fantasy football owners out there, it's nothing that makes you more upset than when you have an elite or a top 10 starting quarterback and they come out and play a very average, yet you have these backups and these guys, Jake Lockers and Brian Hoyer and Austin Davis, you know, third string guys coming in and just lighting it up. And so that was the case. Hoyer doing a great job. We can all see that obviously he was the correct choice over Johnny Manziel this year. Another guy that was of huge interest was Ben Tate. We talked about the Browns backfield on the show, and Tate was the starter. I mentioned to everybody that in week one against Pittsburgh, prior to him getting injured, he had 8 carries for 41 yards. He was also a very fast start. And it just looked like the Browns offensive line is doing an excellent job of blocking, because no matter who it's been, Terrence West, Isaiah Crowell, or now that Tate is back in there, whoever is running the ball for Cleveland, they've had a lot of running room. And so Ben Tate and his return yesterday put to rest a lot of confusion for fantasy owners. He is the guy in Cleveland. Isaiah Crowell and Terrence West, they were back on the bench with very limited carries. Tate came back with a very strong game, 22 carries, 123 yards. And so for owners who drafted him and held on to him, it looks like he's going to be a good pickup as long as he can stay healthy. He is a player that has struggled with injury. So obviously guys like Isaiah Crowell or Terrence West, you may think about keeping on your bench, but right now Ben Tate is the man out in Cleveland. Let's take it over to the Rams and the Eagles. This was a very interesting matchup here. Now for the Eagles, Nick Foles, he played okay. Again, the Eagles' offensive line is decimated with 3 starters out right now, 2 of them being out for some extended time. And so we were talking about that on the show. We wanted to see, basically, with 3 new linemen in, how would that affect the Eagles' pass blocking, but also how would that affect the Eagles' run blocking. And what you're seeing with Nick Foles have an average game, 209 yards, 2 TDs and an interception. The Rams certainly were able to continue to get pressure on him throughout the game. And Shady McCoy, here's a guy who was one of my top 5 starts of the week, with the Rams rush defense being ranked 30th, giving up 155 rush yards a game. I thought this was a game that McCoy could get up over the 100-yard mark, get you a couple touchdowns, but it didn't play out that way, only 81 points. And so I know the Shady McCoy owners at this point starting to become a little impatient. Again, he's a guy, you know, when he gets to the NFC East schedule, the Giants, the Redskins, Dallas, he'll certainly put up the numbers. And, again, their offensive line is struggling right now, so maybe those holes that were there a year ago aren't. And plus, when you have the type of year that LeSean McCoy did last year and you label yourself the best running back in the NFL, you know that that is something that defenses are going to make it the number one option to stop you. A guy who continues to do a great job is Jeremy Maclin. Had another touchdown catch yesterday, and so he continues to be a great late-round pickup for fantasy owners. And how about Philly's defense, special teams? They came into week 5 leading the NFL in points for defense special teams and kept it up yesterday with another 2. They blocked a punt that they ran in for a touchdown, also picked up a fumble and ran it in for a touchdown. And so I'm kind of mad at myself on that one. I strongly contemplated Philadelphia's defense special teams this week. But on the flip side of the coin, if it weren't for those 2 touchdowns, and that's where I was a little bit leery about them, because this Rams team is rather tricky. Look, third-string quarterback, well, he's a starter now. He's a third-round draft pick. He was 3rd on the depth chart. This Austin Davis guy for St. Louis, I think if he has one more good game, he'll be worth considering a roster spot. Now, look, here's a skinny on him. His best games probably are on hold for a while. He's probably a guy that nobody had an opportunity to take advantage of. If you look at what he did in his last 2 outings, in week 3 against Dallas, 327 yards, 3 TDs. Yesterday against Philadelphia, 375 yards and 3 TDs. And so here's a guy who's putting up big fantasy numbers, but when you look at the next five games for St. Louis, they're playing San Francisco twice, Arizona, and Seattle in four out of their next five games. So you're probably not going to be able to take advantage of him. I don't think those are favorable matchups at all. When you look at the defenses that he put those numbers up, and I just spoke about this week, NFC East defense, he put the 327 up against Dallas and the 375 up against Philadelphia. And neither one of those defenses are playing any type of defense right now. And so, man, Austin Davis is a guy, like I said, probably nobody had an opportunity to take advantage of. And looking at his matchups, the guy was not going to be relevant probably again for maybe another, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. So that's a tough cut there. Taking a look in our next game, we had the – oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I apologize. Also, Brian Quick, another guy. I'm kind of upset I didn't stick him in the lineup. Now, I won in two out of my three leagues. In the one league I lost in, Quick is with another owner, so I didn't have an opportunity for him. But here's a guy I also mentioned, right along with Austin Davis. I don't know how many people were able to take advantage of Quick. He came out in week one, had 99 yards. Came out in week two, had 4 yards. Week three, 62 yards and a touchdown. Yesterday, this guy had 75 yards and 2 touchdowns. That was good for 20 points in fantasy football. But again, four of his next five games are against San Francisco, Arizona, Seattle. And so I don't know how much daylight is going to be available for him, considering he's really the only threat in the passing game for the Rams. But nonetheless, man, how about that? I guarantee you nobody had Austin Davis and Brian Quick in their lineup yesterday. And outside of Demaryius Thomas and Peyton Manning, this was the top 1-2 punch yesterday as far as quarterback manufacturing points with his wide receiver. Now let's go ahead and move on to our game. The New York Giants played the Atlanta Falcons. And this one, we continue to see Eli Manning not turn the football over. He's very comfortable right now. He's playing very good football. It seems like that Giants offense has found its comfort level. It's found its groove, its rhythm. And an added extra for this team was rookie Odell Beckham Jr., who made his presence felt immediately by scoring a touchdown in his first action. Now, in this game for the Giants, Eli Manning, again, 200 yards passing. There wasn't any turnovers on his part. You look at Rashard Jennings. Now, Jennings did suffer a knee sprain. The seriousness of it right now, we really don't know. But this is a game where his services ended early, and we thought that he was going to have a huge game yesterday against that poor Atlanta run defense. Nonetheless, couldn't finish, and so Andre Brown, the backup running back, now becomes fantasy football relevant. He certainly should be one of the top waiver wire pickup for your team this upcoming week if you are needing a running back. And also in this game, we've seen You didn't see Victor Cruz or Larry Donald, the two guys who have been making the most noise for the for the Giants the past couple weeks do that. But nonetheless, this was a game that certainly was about efficiency, and they did a great job out there, that being the Giants. They're now 3-2, and like I said, Odell Beckham is certainly another guy that, based on what I've seen from him yesterday, he's a guy that you want to take a look at. If Reuben Randall or Victor Cruz were to get hurt, he's certainly a guy who can step into the lineup and pay dividends. And I like the athleticism. If you've seen his touchdown catch, was behind the defender, got in front of him, and jumped up and caught the football for a touchdown. So that was pretty impressive for a rookie right there. Now, for the Atlanta Falcons, look, it's going to be the same thing for this team week in and week out. Okay, what you're going to see happen is they cannot run the football. And so that's why Matt Ryan is one of the best quarterbacks to have in fantasy football, because his team is unable to run the football. And so, he's going to continue to put up the numbers on a week-in and week-out basis. There is no denying that. Julio Jones had 11 catches, 105 yards. That's certainly a trend that's going to continue. He certainly established himself as Matt Ryan's top target. And, you know, Steven Jackson, again, we talked about him in the show. He's only going to be relevant if he can score a short touchdown, and which is what he did yesterday. The guy that we want to talk about, though, this is a guy that Victor mentioned, Victor Gardner. He comes on the show weekly here. Is running back Antone Smith. And here's a guy who Marshall Faulk said it best yesterday. If this guy scores on one more swing pass this year, it's going to be unbelievable. And he seems like he's the guy who is leading that backfield right now. You know, Steven Jackson is more or less of a situation where it's like, you know what, let's go ahead and get this guy involved early to make sure that you know, he's going to get his touches. He is a veteran. And after that, it's pretty much up in the air. And the Antone Smith guy seems like he's the one who's going to benefit from that. So, I mean, if you're in deeper leagues or you're desperate for a running back, I can't guarantee you he's going to do that every single week. But he's certainly the guy who's playing time. And what he's doing with his playing time is certainly continuing to improve on a week-in and week-out basis. Again, for some reason, if Steven Jackson were to get hurt, here's a guy you want to look at. And I'll say this, if you take a look at that as well, you're wondering where's Jacquez Rogers. Well, obviously this Antone Smith guy has jumped over him and taken that over. And so I think those trends that we've seen yesterday are going to continue. I think that whoever's running the football for the Giants is going to be effective. Eli Manning's going to mix it up. I think that on a weekly basis you'll probably see the top receiver changing between Beckham, between Cruz, maybe Reuben Randall, Larry Donald. But for Atlanta, it's going to be the same. It's going to be Matty Ice and Julio Jones. And then Rhodey White seems to be a stronger play at home. Or maybe every other game. He kind of got lost in the shuffle yesterday. So that's that. Moving on to our next game, we had Tampa Bay at New Orleans. This was a game here where you've seen Mike Glennon, the quarterback for Tampa Bay, 250 yards passing, two TDs, an interception. I think the biggest thing that we're taking away from this one that makes me. I'm a Vincent Jackson fantasy owner. I know that a couple other people I spoke with, primarily Adam Rank from NFL Network and Marcella Serra over at Fantasy Football Challenge. And we all have Vincent Jackson as a guy that we were talking about and very optimistic, hoping that the new quarterback, Mike Glennon, may help his situation out. And he has definitely done that. 8 catches, 144 yards yesterday for Vincent Jackson. So that makes his owners very happy. You also take a look at Tampa Bay, and, you know, this Doug Martin guy seems like he's going to end up being a bust if he doesn't get it together soon. The Bucs offensive line is certainly having some struggles, and so he didn't do much yesterday, 11 carries, 44 yards. You expect for him to do a lot better than that. It was Bobby Rainey who actually got the touchdown and had 40 all-purpose yards, so his numbers came out looking better. And I don't know, this might be a situation where Tampa Bay's got to start taking a look. I think Bobby Rainey looks like the better running back. I don't know how you guys feel out there in fantasy football land. Maybe somebody like to call in and talk to me about that. Well, we get a quick vote going on that. Who's the better back in Tampa Bay? It looks like Bobby Rainey to me. When I'm looking at the New Orleans Saints, a lot of disappointment. And we're going to get into this in the show here shortly. But Drew Brees threw the ball 57 times yesterday, completed 35 passes, 371 yards, but 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. And this is a team that they did run the ball 29 times for 140 yards. And I'll stop right there. That tells you that Tampa Bay did a horrible job converting third down. If you're allowing a team basically 80 plays in a football game, 60 through the air, 30 on the ground, man, your defense is on the football field an awful lot. Now, granted, New Orleans did have some turnovers and some short fields that Tampa Bay had to work with. But, you know, Drew Brees, he continues to be a disappointment right now. I must say, as much yardage as he put up yesterday, those 371 passing yards and 2 TDs, those 3 interceptions hurt him. He didn't even get 20 points yesterday. And so I know that his owners are really wondering what's going on. And, you know, for Jimmy Graham, he left the game yesterday with a shoulder sprain. He's been a huge disappointment to owners. Marcus Colston, now this guy, I mean, come on, Drew Brees is going for 371 yards, completing 35 passes. Colston can only get 3 catches. I have him on one of my fantasy teams, actually 2. And I don't know, man. It's just up in the air right now with the Saints team. Their offense, I mean, Drew Brees, as much as you love him as a quarterback, you know, he's a guy in fantasy football for your receivers sometimes. Can be a liability. I mean, he spreads the football out so much. It's like, you know, nobody really gets a chance to get the lion's share to work, obviously, with the exception of Jimmy Graham when he's healthy. Nonetheless, it was Pierre Thomas. And this is something that, I don't know, last week, I don't know if anybody noticed, but Pierre Thomas did not play in that football game at all. And with Mark Ingram out, you were surprised about that. Now, I think that maybe it was something that went on in-house last week in New Orleans. You know, maybe Thomas did something, and, you know, they just kept it in-house, and Sean Payton didn't play him. But he was relevant yesterday. Yesterday, he had two touchdowns, 111 all-purpose yards. And, again, that's what I'm saying about the Saints team. You just never know. They're one of the few teams in the NFL where week in and week out, you don't know who is going to be leading in points, who's going to have the most yards. It's just a mess. That's why picking Drew Brees is the best way to go. Kyrie Robinson had a good game yesterday. He scored the game-winning touchdown. He had 14 points. And, you know, obviously, I guess if you got an injury coming out of this one of Jimmy Graham, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Moving on to Houston and Dallas. I say Ryan Fitzpatrick, he flat-out sucks as a quarterback. I have to say that. But this guy can only manage 150 passing yards against a Dallas secondary that is in complete shambles. Austin Davis, the third-string quarterback for St. Louis, threw for 327 yards on this defense. And this guy is incapable. I wouldn't be surprised. I think Ryan Mallett would have been in there by now. He probably doesn't know the system as well as Fitzpatrick, who came over in the offseason, but this guy is incapable. So with him only passing for 150 yards, and obviously the wide receiver didn't do anything, Andre Johnson, he just continues to be an average guy in fantasy football. And I know we're not used to that. 50 yards receiving yesterday, and 25 of them came on a screen pass in the fourth quarter. So he's just not impressive. And then you're also looking at Arian Foster. Meanwhile, here's a guy we talked about. When he's healthy, just without question, this is one of the most talented running backs in the NFL, top five without question. And I think that where fantasy owners were able to get him this year, which primarily was in the second and third round, without question, he's a first-round pick. But because of the injuries, he didn't play in the preseason, Gary Kubiak leaving, there were tons of question marks around him, and rightfully so, as you've seen him struggle the last couple weeks. But 157 yards, two touchdowns, he sliced up that Dallas run defense yesterday. So it was good to see him back healthy. I know his owners are ecstatic about that, just hoping that he can maintain his health throughout the course of the season. You look over at Dallas, on the other hand, Tony Romo, he played a really good game yesterday, threw for 324 yards, two TD passes, really kind of escaped J.J. White on the first touchdown pass. He threw to Terrence Williams, who, by the way, is leading the Cowboys with five TD receptions. He's one of the guys who I talked about in the preseason, when I talked about the depth at the wide receiver position, and I talked about getting guys like him and Golden Tate and Emmanuel Sanders, some of these number two wide receivers who you know can give you good production. And he continues to play well. That was a 57-yard touchdown pass to Terrence Williams caught yesterday. I plugged him in my lineup again. I sat Calvin Johnson down and plugged Williams in for the week, and it's the second straight week that he's done extremely well for me. I really appreciate his contributions. Quite sure his fantasy owners do as well. DeMarco Murray continues to do well. He had his fifth straight game over 100 rushing yards, but he fumbled again yesterday. And at this point, there's concern for this guy. He's fumbled in five of the six last games dating back to last year. And he just got to find a way. He's got four fumbles this year in five games. That's the limit. That's it. He should not be coughing that football up anymore. But so far, so much more the season left to go. It's kind of inevitable. Nonetheless, he continues to shine. Des Bryant had the big catch yesterday. Went up over a defender in overtime. Really bailed his quarterback out. But that's what these wide receivers want their quarterback to do. You know, if the quarterback ends up with an interception, that's just the way it is. But these top flight receivers, like Des Bryant, they're telling their quarterback to get in trouble. You see me in one-on-one coverage, lob it up, and I'll go get it. And that's exactly what Des Bryant was able to do yesterday. I tell you, though, a guy who's just missing in action this year, Jason Witten, is a top-five tight end in fantasy football, just hasn't been a part of the equation so far. So if that is a trend that's going to continue, it doesn't sit well. This is a guy that a lot of people jumped up and grabbed early, but have been having to find replacements for him. I would say him and Cameron Jordan, but killed Cleveland. I forgot to touch on him when I was talking about Cleveland. I'll talk about him later on the show, but these guys have just been MIA. I don't know what's going on there. We move it over to the Buffalo Bills, Detroit Lions. This was a game that Detroit just flat out blew. They cut their kicker, Alex Henry, and you knew it was coming. Detroit had already cut their rookie kicker, Nick Freeze, 2 weeks ago after he missed 4 out of his first 7 field goals. And Alex Henry, I questioned when they picked him up because I said, well, God, he was with Philly last year. Did Philly cut him? There's a reason. Maybe he was the best guy available on the market. Nonetheless, he missed four field goals in his first 2 games in Detroit. Yesterday, he missed 3. The Lions lose this one 17-14. I had texted my timeline of people yesterday. I said, you know what? Now, this guy is going to be gone after this game is over. And sure enough, I was not surprised this morning to see it come in on the news that he was no longer with Detroit. You knew that he was gone after that game. When you look at the struggles that Detroit is going through right now, and again, we'll elaborate on some of these plays a little more, but without Calvin Johnson, Matt Stafford is going to struggle. That's the way it is. I picked up Stafford in one of my leagues, and the reason I picked him up is because he's attached to the best wide receiver in the NFL. And if Calvin Johnson is doing well, that means that Matt Stafford was going to do well. But right now, Calvin Johnson, who, again, we're going to talk about later, had to leave this one, only had 1 catch for 7 yards. Golden Tate, Sean. Again, I had Tate as one of my top wide receivers at depth, right behind Emmanuel Sanders. And it's working out just like that. I said, when you looked at the wide receivers this year, what you wanted to take into consideration for picking a number 2 receiver is value. If the number 1 wide receiver is out, and that certainly what Golden Tate has given you the last couple weeks. Had 93 yards and a touchdown last week against the Jets. Yesterday, 134 yards and a touchdown. Continues to be an excellent pickup for the Lions, but they're unable to run football. The Bills do have the 5th-ranked run defense in the NFL. But Reggie Bush, this was his chance yesterday to get out there without Joyce Bell and do his thing. He comes away with 6 rushes, 13 yards, and ends up leaving with an ankle injury. So, as usual, Reggie Bush, he's back on the injured reserve list. Don't know how long. He's been a bust this year in fantasy football. He's only got 1 touchdown through 5 games. So, Joyce Bell, I'm assuming when he comes back, he'll be the guy who will certainly, kind of carry that workload moving forward. I know his owners have to be thrilled about that. But Matt Stafford, he struggled yesterday. Just wasn't able to put it together. 209 yards, a touchdown. 221 yards, a touchdown, an interception. Just never got comfortable back there. The Bills front line doing an excellent job. Mario Williams, Marcel Darius. Brandon Spike getting in on the action from linebacker, bringing in pressure. You look at the Buffalo Bills, and it was all about Kyle Orton yesterday. 308 yards, a touchdown, and an interception in his debut. Bills weren't able to run the football, but we knew that. The Lions are 4th against the run. But ultimately, you see Sammy Watkins have 87 receiving yards. I had some big plays for Buffalo, and their kicker, Dan Carpenter, nailed a 58-yarder. To get Buffalo the win. I tell you, this Buffalo Bills defense that we're going to talk about later, these guys are playing lights out. They've got big road victories over at Chicago, at Detroit. They beat Miami this year, and their couple losses certainly probably have come at the expense of their quarterback, which is now why, I guess after yesterday, I could see why the change was made, because I cannot say that E.J. Manuel would have been able to make those same plays. Moving on to Baltimore-Indianapolis, this was a game here that Andrew Luck, we talked about it, played a tough defense. So we see his numbers come right back on down. Now, he did score a rushing touchdown, did go for 312 yards with 2 interceptions. And so we were just talking about how he shredded Tennessee and Jacksonville the last couple weeks. The last couple weeks in fantasy football. Nonetheless, I think you feel good if you have Andrew Luck, knowing that even when he plays a tough defense, he could still get you 19 points. He had a rushing touchdown as well. Not too much going on for Indy during the air. T.Y. Hilton had 9 catches, 90 yards. Reggie Wayne had 77 yards. I think that what's the thing you're encouraged about now, if you have Reggie Wayne as an owner, I think you knew that T.Y. Hilton was going to be a big part of this, with seeing how Team Nick's starting to fall back into the fold a little bit as Dwayne Allen is emerging. Here's a guy who, if you were able to pick up off the waiver wire, is paying big-time dividends for you. He scored another touchdown. That's his third straight game that he scored a touchdown. And I guess we now see that he certainly established himself as the number one tight end. Remember earlier in the season, we weren't quite sure how that was going to work out between him and Kobe Sweeney. We just heard that Allen was going to be on the field more because he was a better blocker and had better hands, and we're certainly seeing that. Andrew Luck placing a lot of trust in him. You look at Baltimore, Joe Flacco, not sharp yesterday. Turnovers really killed Baltimore and got them out of sync. Steve Smith, he was missing yesterday, but as I predicted on the show, if you took a look at what Indianapolis has done to top receivers this year, holding Jeremy Maclin to 4 catches, 44 yards, and there's Thomas, 4 catches, 48 yards. They don't have a shutdown corner with a name like a Richard Sherman or a Patrick Peterson. Nonetheless, they do a very good job limiting receivers. And Steve Smith was held in check yesterday. He was another guy who, in the first 4 games of the season, got to a blazing start. He knew at some point it was going to have to slow down. Torrey Smith continues to be MIA. He did nothing yesterday. And then Justin Forsett got into the end zone. He looks like he's the best back. You know that he was in Houston a couple years, backing up Arian Foster. So I think he really understands his own blocking scheme system, Gary Kubiak. Bernard Pierce didn't get too much play yesterday. The guy we looked at was Lorenzo Telesfarrell. We thought this was a guy who was going to really establish himself as the top back in Baltimore, but that's yet to happen for him. So it looks like Justin Forsett is the guy you want to go with moving forward. Moving over to Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, not a lot to talk about in this one. Ben Roethlisberger, 273 yards of TD. They held him in check, though. Le'Veon Bell, 15 rushes, 82 yards. Antonio Brown, 5 catches, 84 yards. So you knew Jacksonville's defense, as we talked about. The team, period, was going to play better at home. They've been getting blown out all year long. You figured a home game. A Pittsburgh defense is not what it used to be. A little bit of pride coming up in there. So they played well at home. And then also taking a look at what went on for Jacksonville, not much. Toby Gerhardt, again, he should not be on your roster. I don't know who's keeping him and for what reason why. He needs to be gone. And Blake Bortles just made the rookie mistakes yesterday. Blake Bortles had 191 passing yards, but 2 touchdowns, probably one that cost Jacksonville the game. They were only down 10-9 in the fourth quarter, and he threw a pick 6 to end it. Only needed a field goal to win that game. So he made the rookie mistakes yesterday. I know he's a guy I thought certainly against Pittsburgh's defense, undermanned as they were, could do a little bit better than that. But, again, he is a rookie learning on the job, I'm quite sure. Dick LeBeau threw some things at him that he just was not familiar with seeing. I see Victor Gardner's on the line, so let's go ahead and pull him in here. What's going on, Victor? How you doing today?
I'm doing good, my boy Lance. I am doing good.
All right. That is definitely good to hear. We are on the tail end of our games here, and so I'll certainly let you chime in with me. And then after that, we're going to spend the rest of the show. We finally were able, with the exception of tonight's game, Seattle-Washington, finally able to get our first quarter stats in. I know that last week was week 4, but we had teams on bye, so I wanted to wait to do that this week till we could allow every team to have 4 games in the book. And so we'll get to that. The next game on the list was Arizona at Denver. And we've seen Peyton Manning and Demaryius Thomas hook up, break some records there yesterday. Manning, 479, 4 TDs. Demaryius Thomas, you knew that this game was coming sooner than later. I thought it would be next week. I didn't think it would be against Arizona. Nonetheless, though, Demaryius Thomas, this is what you like about Peyton Manning. And when you talk about getting guys involved, Demaryius Thomas is his number one wide receiver. And he did have come into yesterday's game with 1 TD catch, but just had a rough start. Didn't do much week 1 against Indy. As I said, 4 catches, 48 yards. Week 2 against Kansas City, 62 yards, a touchdown. The last game he played at Seattle, 35 receiving yards, 2-point conversion. Peyton Manning targeted Demaryius Thomas 16 times yesterday. And so when you have a quarterback who's saying to his team, especially a star player, you know what, don't worry about it. I'm going to get you involved. I know you're off to a rough start. Man, 16 targets this guy had in one game yesterday. And so he turned that into 8 catches for 226 yards, 2 touchdowns. You already know what time it is. This guy is about to go out. I looked at their schedule the next week, and their toughest games are far, but they played Seattle. They played Arizona. San Diego's going to be rough on them, and, possibly San Francisco. But other than that, this guy's going to have a monster year. What else can you say about Peyton Manning? Also, Julius Thomas continues to be a top tight end. He has 2 more TD catches. The guys who were left out of the equation, Wes Welker, I don't know if he's going to be able to find his way in the loop. I mean, I think at some point Peyton Manning's going to do the same for him. But right now, Emmanuel Sanders continues to be so wide open. I think that's his guy. And so I think Welker is going to be a guy who is going to factor in. We're going to talk about him a little later as well. And then the biggest loss, and we're going to talk about him as well. Victor, I'm saving my injuries for when we get to that segment. But Monty Ball was gone as well. Talk to me, Victor. It wasn't a whole lot to talk about, but what did you see go on with Arizona yesterday? I guess the only guy who looked to be relevant was Andre Ellington. So maybe talk about what you've seen from Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Floyd, why they didn't do anything in yesterday's game.
Too easy, my friend. First of all, I want to thank my friend Jason in one of our leagues who traded me Demaryius Thomas a couple weeks ago. Of course, I gave a hefty price, but in the long run, I have Sanders and Thomas on my team with Aaron Rodgers. Trying to get Jamal Charles, but we'll see. At any rate, what did I see yesterday with Arizona? Here's what I saw. A team that could win the NFC West, but won't. Carson Palmer, nerve damage, issues going on with him. So we don't know when he's coming back. Drew Stanton, down on his luck, got hurt a little bit, couldn't finish the game. Enter the Virginia Tech rookie, Mr. Logan. Now, Mr. Logan's a pretty decent quarterback if you run a read option type, but he can stand in the pocket and throw the ball. But he saw some terrible stuff happen to him at the end of that game. What does this mean for the Arizona Cardinals' future? Well, that means next week Jerry Tittle is going to be paying me $100 because the Redskins is going to beat the Arizona Cardinals, especially if Logan is the quarterback, because we got blitzes for that butte. Larry Fitzgerald. You know, I don't know if Logan just found it better throwing it to him than he did Michael Floyd. But Michael Floyd was only targeted like 3 or 4 times. One was for a long touchdown that he couldn't make. And I think he had like 1 or 2 catches for like, it was very minuscule, very minuscule. So fantasy value-wise, there isn't much there, if anything there, in this game. Ellington, he ran well versus that Denver defense. I was very surprised by that. I didn't think he was going to be that effective versus that Denver defense. Again, they're not world beaters when it comes to stopping the run, but they're pretty good at pressure. And that's what Logan saw and Stanton saw yesterday. I don't know what the future lies for this offensive side of the ball, but on the defensive side, they lost Calais Campbell. And that is crazy. Now, again, you mentioned Demaryius Thomas having 220-some yards. He could have had 300 yards and 3 TDs. But the tight end, Thomas, and the tackle had a chop block. It was inadvertent, but it took Calais Campbell out. And I think he's going to be gone for quite a few weeks with a sprained knee or something like that. I can't really prognosticate on the prognosis. But that's pretty big for this team. They already lost Donnell Dockett, already lost Carlos Dansby to Cleveland. It's hurting up front and it's linebacker position. So this team is limping in. They limped through that game and kept it pretty decent until Peyton Manning decided y'all not going to keep it close. But other than that, there isn't much to talk about on the Arizona side other than sell now. Sell now. Go ahead, Lance.
All right, thank you for that. Moving over to Kansas City versus San Francisco. Wasn't a lot of big stats in this one. Jamaal Charles had 15 carries for 80 yards. You certainly respect, again, San Francisco's run defense has been stellar this year. Like I said, they stopped Shady McCoy and Matt Forte. We talked about Jamaal Charles being a better back than both of those guys, no disrespect to either or, but he's way faster. To me, he looks like the best pass catcher out of the back. He just has an elite set of skills. So when you look at his 80 yards against San Francisco, that's good, but I think it tells you how well San Fran is defending the run. They certainly got Zach dedicated to that. You know that the past couple of years they were tops in the NFL. Last year took a step back. So it looks like that's a focus. They understand they have to cover up for their secondary. Niles Davis was irrelevant in this one. Travis Kelce continues to be a good tight end pickup off the waiver wire. You see Alex Smith finding him early and often. And again, Alex Smith in that West Coast short passing game. Kelce certainly going to be a guy that continues to be relevant there. You took a look at San Francisco, Colin Kaepernick. I think that's what he's going to do. I don't think anybody's going to dispute that Colin Kaepernick can get you, 200 yards, easy pass, and another 50 or so on the ground. That base bottom, the ceiling's up from there. Frank Gore, he had over 100 yards again yesterday, back-to-back weeks. I think they understand that. Steve Johnson's a guy. I talked about him. If you needed a wide receiver on the show yesterday while Vernon Davis is out, that's a good guy to pick up. And then how about Phil Dawson? 20 points yesterday. I'm not sure I got that correct. Actually, he had, 20 points yesterday. And we talked about the importance of field goal kickers on the show yesterday. 20 points for him. And so it's talk to me, Victor. Anything to note from that game yesterday, either San Fran or Kansas City?
Sure. It's actually a question. You still think you should have dropped Phil Dawson after week one?
Well, you know what? Again, you know what? It doesn't matter to me. I don't have time to wait. Wait 5 weeks for him to do something. So, if that's the way it went. I cut three kickers thus far this season. If guys are missing field goals and extra points, they're not producing. I'm on to the next. There's too many kickers. So, yeah, he had a great game yesterday. He was a top five kicker. I don't doubt he'll do well moving forward. But he wasn't going to be on my team.
This is the Jimmy Johnson of fantasy football, ladies and gentlemen. Lance, the NFL Exporter Goodman. My man. All right, look, ladies and gentlemen, that game was a picture-perfect view of what San Fran needed to do. They controlled the ball. Yes, they threw it a little bit, but they controlled the ball. Now, Alex Smith said, you know what? I'm not going to be viewed as just a managing quarterback. He tried his best to pull that team out front, talking about Kansas City, and showcase the talents. He threw it to Dwayne Bowe a few times. A sighting. The Black Mamba was sighted in this game. A young man from Oregon, can't remember his name right now, but he's exciting. If you pair him with Jamaal Charles and Hammer Niles Davis, you have a wonderful backfield. And then you have some tall, nice receivers to throw to. The problem is San Fran's defense stepped up yesterday. They stepped up. There were holes. Alex Smith wasn't able to capitalize on a lot of these holes. But here's what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, fantasy-wise. These individuals on Kansas City, they're starting to come out of their shell. So if you have opportunities to pick some up, you might want to do it. Alex Smith last year went on a tear and was one of the better fantasy quarterbacks towards the end of the year. Do I think he's going to do that this year? Again, if they use the Black Mamba, I think he can become a better fantasy quarterback, mainly because people will be worried about the run, and he'll be able to hit those open passes to Kalis, the tight end, and other people. But San Fran, stick to the formula. Stick to a winning formula. Don't deviate from it just because you have new toys. You don't change your method because you have any toys. That's my opinion. Go ahead, homeboy.
All right, let's go ahead and finish this out here so we can get into the stuff that I know our fans have been waiting for. We won't spend much time on these last two games because it really wasn't much to talk about for the losers. Now, let's talk about the winners. Victor, I'm going to take San Diego. They blew out the Jets. I don't think anybody had any doubt about that one. Like I said, if you have any Jets on your team, sit them on a bench, drop them, do whatever you got to do. This team is garbage flat out. When you look at what their team – no, I'm serious. So if you think about, look, they can't run the football, they can't pass the football, and their secondary is garbage. So, I mean, why have any of these players on your team at this point? They've only beat the Raiders this year. They're just a waste of time. For San Diego, Phillip Rivers continues to shine. Three more TD passes. Antonio Gates, after a couple weeks being blanketed, took advantage of his weak secondary. He had two TD grabs. Their defense pitched a shutout. Again, I talked about how underrated this defense was. For those of you who are able to get the Chargers, defense, special teams, they're certainly playing very well. And Brandon Oliver, obviously, is going to be a top waiver wire pickup. You've seen Donald Brown lead that game with a concussion. You should have seen this one coming because they got Ryan Matthew, who in his first 5 years last year was his first complete season. He's gone. Donald Brown was another guy who suffered a lot of injuries over in Indianapolis. He was out of the lineup a lot. But Brandon Oliver is going to be a top waiver wire pickup. Yesterday, he was the top fantasy running back with 29 points. Victor, Cincinnati and New England. As I said, we could skip over Cincinnati. Just came out and played a horrible game, plain and simple. Talk to me about what you've seen out of New England.
Out of New England, I saw, and it was pointed out during the game, the double tight end set. One tight end had 11 catches. We're not talking about Gronk. We're talking about Tim Wright. And I want to apologize to you right here on the extra point for telling you to play Martellus Bennett over Gronk. Gronk obviously had the better game. Hindsight is 20/20. But I saw what Tom Brady needed, two pass-catching tight ends. And he really didn't need his wide receivers because they ran the ball very hard. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't fall in love with the running back situation in New England. It's a facade. It's not going to happen like that every week. But Tim Wright and Gronk are going to be recipients of a lot of Tom Brady passes and touchdowns, sprinkled in with Julian Edelman. And Danny Amendola is probably the odd man out. Brandon LaFell is the big red zone target if it's not one of the tight ends. That's what I saw with New England. And Cincinnati just laid an egg, like you said. They just laid an egg, my friend. I know we got to move on, so I'll leave it at that.
Yep, definitely. All right, let's go ahead and get into the stuff that I know that everybody wants to really talk about. I'm just going to quickly run through the top performers for Week 5, and then I've got the top 10 ranked players at each position that me and Victor are going to talk about, along with some injuries, why players are succeeding, why some are failing. Top 5 quarterbacks yesterday, obviously Peyton Manning. I mentioned Austin Davis earlier in the show. He had 26 points. Manning had 31. Phillip Rivers had 21. Jay Cutler, 21. Ryan Hoyer, 21. Tom Brady, 20. Andrew Luck, 19. Top 5 running backs, Brandon Oliver out in San Diego. Again, he had 182 all-purpose yards, 2 TDs. That was good for 29 points. Arian Foster, a buck 57 on the ground, 2 TDs, good for 28. Andre Ellington, 143 all-purpose yards, 2 TDs. That was good for 26 points. Eddie Lacy on Thursday night, 105, 2 TDs, 24 points. Pierre Thomas popped in yesterday, 112 all-purpose yards, 2 TDs. That was good for 22 points. Top wide receivers, obviously, Demaryius Thomas, 226, 2 TDs. That was good for 34 points. Kendall Wright, as we mentioned, had 90 all-purpose yards, 2 TDs. That was good for 20. Brian Quick. Another guy we spoke about on the show yesterday, 87 yards, 2 TDs. That was good for 20. Golden Tate, a buck 34 and a TD, good for 19. Travis Benjamin was on the waiver wire, had 48 points, 2 TDs, 16 points. Alshon Jeffrey, 97 yards, a TD, good for 15. Justin Hunter, relevant for the first time this year, 99 yards, a touchdown. That was good for 15. Tight ends, Greg Olsen, 72 yards, 2 TDs, 19 points. Antonio Gates, 60 yards and 2 TDs. Julius Thomas, 66 yards and 2 TDs. Both of those gentlemen had 18. No sweat there for you, Victor. Went ahead and evaluated the situation a little more. Went with Gronkowski. He had 100 yards and a TD. That was good for 16 points. Tim Wright, as Victor mentioned, 85 yards and a TD, 14 points. And Dwayne Allen, 59 yards and a TD, 11 points. Top defense special teams, the Packers Thursday night, 23. Philadelphia and the Panthers, 18. The Steelers were 16 and the Colts were 15. And then Jerry talked about the importance of kickers. We all did, but Jerry got that ball rolling on that. Stephen Gostkowski got 21 points for the Patriots. Bill Dawson, 20 for San Francisco. Josh Brown, 15 for the Giants. Shane Graham, 12 for New Orleans. McManus, the kicker for Denver, 12. And Dan Carpenter, the big 58-yarder, had 11 points for the Buffalo Bills. Your all-stud team for Week 5 was Peyton Manning, Brandon Oliver, and Arian Foster at running back, Demaryius Thomas, Kendall Wright, Ryan Quick at wide receiver, Greg Olsen at tight end, Packers defense special team, and kicker Steve Gostkowski for the New England Patriots. Now, Victor, I'm going to let you start this segment off. I'm going to name the top 10 running backs, the top 10 quarterbacks in fantasy football through 4 weeks. So we're not counting yesterday's games with the exception of teams who won the bye week. And the teams who won the bye week yesterday, in week four, was the Bengals, the Browns, the Broncos, St. Louis, Arizona, and Seattle. So those are the only teams that I factored into the equation. The rest of these stats are based off of last week, which were teams who played four games. Top 10 quarterbacks, Andrew Luck, Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, Jay Cutler, Eli Manning, Matt Stafford, Drew Brees, Colin Kaepernick, Joe Flacco, and then who had a bye, who obviously is going to be in that top 10 from last week, was Peyton Manning. Victor, talk to me. Are there any quarterbacks in there who were not ranked in your top 10? I know for me, Colin Kaepernick wasn't in my top 10. Neither was Joe Flacco.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Victor.
I agree.
Yeah, no problem. I didn't have Kaepernick and Flacco in my top 10, and Rivers was not either. I had Rivers actually at 11. So Flacco, Rivers, and Kaepernick were just outside of my top 10. Guys not in the top 10 so far that I did have in there, Nick Foles, Tony Romo. Feel free. Go ahead and maybe give me, 3 or 4 minutes. We're going to get through each position leading into game time. Any surprises, any failures? Just talk to us about those top 10 quarterbacks that you heard. Who's going to continue to do well? Who might drop out? Any surprises?
I don't like Kaepernick nor Flacco, just like you, in this top 10. I believe that Flacco was a beneficiary of Steve Smith's anger versus Carolina. Prior to that, he was ho-hum drum and stuff like that. Steve Smith gave him his best yardage and touchdown ratio of the season. I know it's young, but I would not put him in there whatsoever. Kaepernick. Kaepernick is a – now, if we're going to base it solely on stats, okay, Kaepernick is in there. At the very end, in my opinion. Only because I don't like his decision-making. I don't like several things that Kaepernick has done to prove me right, that San Fran is going to a pass-happy offense, which is changing the identity of this team. And it's wrong. I just think that he is not – he was the person that got them to the Super Bowl, okay? I don't think he's the type of quarterback or the quarterback that will win them, talking about the 49ers now, a Super Bowl. And I know this is your team, and, you might not like what I'm saying, but I thought Kaepernick was better than Alex Smith. I was right. He was better at the time with that fit because they were a smash-mouth football team that threw occasionally and used play-action pass to set up, the passes downfield. Now they're just coming straight out passing the ball. I don't agree with that. I do believe Phillip Rivers is, in my opinion, higher than Matty Ice because Matty Ice has so far shown that he can't be that consistent outside of the dome. Phillip has gone and beat the world champs, albeit at home, beat the world champs, traveled to Buffalo, beat Buffalo. Only game they lost this season was the first game of the season. And even in that game, Phillip looked pretty good. So I think he deserves to be higher than Matty Ice. Tony Romo. I'm going to say this. Tony Romo, for me, is at the bottom end of that top 10 list because he's relying solely on DeMarco Murray's 100-plus rushing yards. If you look at that game that they had, the Cowboys had with Houston, Romo was throwing that ball, twisting his body, getting ready for a hit most of the time, throwing it up, hoping that somebody on his team would come down with it. Now, fortunately, they did, but I don't think he's anywhere near where he was a few years ago and shouldn't be ranked in the top portion of a top 10. Drew Brees is a disappointment so far as well, but that's because he doesn't have that many weapons as he's had in the past. So, you know, I don't know where he was in the listing. I forget right now because I'm going to write him down. Sorry about that, Lance. But I don't think he deserves to be in the top half. Maybe I put him six or seven. Eli. Oh, Eli. Again, a beneficiary to the running game. Now that Rashad Jennings has a banged up knee a little bit, and Williams is probably going to be the feature back for a week or two, we'll see just how good Eli is in this system. He's read his keys, and he's thrown to the right people, but Eli's Eli. That's why Eli is on the waiver wire in most leagues at the beginning of every season, and he's normally picked up, like, as a bye week person and then turns to fire towards the end of the season. Now, a guy that I thought was doing well, and he was a rookie, I'm talking about Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr was doing well until he got injured. He had a lot of drop balls, but he was placing the ball where it needed to be. So I can only say that it's more than likely that this kid will end up in the top portion of this. Well, at least in the top 10 before the season's out, if he comes back as healthy as he should be. So with that being said, Lance, I don't want to eat too much time, so I'm going to let you go ahead and talk about whatever it is you were going to talk about again. Sorry about that, brother.
Oh, yeah, no problem. We got it. We should be able to get this handled here. Got about a half an hour left. Yeah, I would just say so far, looking at that quarterback list for me, I'm just looking at the value there. When you're looking at Andrew Luck, who was going around the fifth or sixth round, Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, Jay Cutler, these guys going in rounds, you know, 9, 10, 11. Like you said, Joe Flacco, I had him at 18 by the time this fantasy season started. And so I'm just looking at the value. Even Nick Foles, he's in that 13. But I just look at the value at that quarterback position. You know, we all love Peyton Manning, rightfully so. But when you're looking at Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers compared to the rest of those guys, and Matt Stafford, I'm looking at Phillip Rivers being the guy there above all of those. Andrew Luck as well. I think you look at Aaron Rodgers having trouble a couple of times there with Detroit, and schedule played into it. The numbers are going to shake out, but I just that was my takeaway from the quarterback, at least through the first 4 weeks, was Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers, Jay Cutler, and Nick Foles, Andrew Luck, all guys you could find in the fifth or sixth round, gave you ability to stack up on studs. Moving over to the running back position, this has been the biggest mess that I could remember in a long time with fantasy football. The top 10 players are DeMarco Murray, Marshawn Lynch, Le'Veon Bell. I think everybody had those guys in their top 10. I had Bell at 13, and that was just based off of you didn't know how the situation was going to play out. You heard Mike Tomlin say he was going to suspend them due to marijuana. He, Mike Tomlin, suspended nobody. It was all talk. And also there were murmurs about Blunt coming over and getting some work. He quickly put that to rest, Le'Veon, after putting up 200 all-purpose in his first game. But then we get into Ahmad Bradshaw at number 4. Rashard Jennings at 5. I think Jennings was like a mid-round guy, maybe around 4 or 5. Alfred Morris, he was certainly a top 10 running back. Then Niles Davis came in, took advantage of Jamal Charles being out. Giovanni Bernard certainly was a top 10 to 13. I think I had him again in my top 13. I think I just wasn't sure about the goal line carry situation. And then Matt Asiata has been able to come in at number 10, obviously with Adrian Peterson being out. And him having that 3-touchdown game against Atlanta really gave him some volume. Now, check this out. Adrian Peterson at one. We all know that he has been out due to off-the-field issues. Jamaal Charles missed 2 games due to injury. Matt Forte had 2 rough matchups. Matter of fact, Matt Forte and LeSean McCoy. We can even throw Eddie Lacy in there. You look at Lacy, you knew that Monday, that the first game of the season at Seattle wasn't going to work. Suffered the concussion, then played the number one rush defense in the league against the Jets. And then came back and played the number 4 rush defense against Detroit. Rough start. LeSean McCoy played the number at San Francisco and then played against Washington, 2 top 10 run defenses. And same for Matt Forte, back-to-back weeks playing the Jets and 49ers. And so that is the reason that you've seen Forte, McCoy, Lacy, and Charles, all top 5, 10 to 10 running backs, get off the slow starts. Monty Ball, I'm disgusted with him. I drafted him. I drafted DeMarco Murray in the first round, wanted to come back, give me another stud running back. The general consensus on him was that you've seen Noshawn Moreno last year put up 1,586 all-purpose yards and 10 TDs. You're saying, my God, if you're a running back playing for Peyton Manning, life should be simple for you. Worst case scenario, you should be able to get 50 to 60 plus yards running the football because defenses are so worried about the pass. Manning's going to get you in the right play every time. You're figuring, if nothing else, 60 to 70 all purpose. And you should be able to find yourself 1 goal line touchdown or one late gobble touchdown once the game is out of reach and Denver decided to run the football. This guy got 1 touchdown in the first 3 weeks of action. Now he's out. It could be a season-ending injury with him, with that growing injury. And so I know Monty Ball fantasy owners just have to be beside themselves. I know I am. I mean, yesterday in my loss, this bum comes out with 1 point. Excuse me. You know, I certainly wish the guy a fast recovery, but I just don't see how you can fail playing against in a Peyton Manning offense. Taking a look at this running backs, to me, Ahmad Bradshaw, obviously the surprise, but Trent Richardson had not been able to capitalize on his opportunities. And what you're seeing was Ahmad Bradshaw have 3 receiving touchdowns in those last 2 weeks. Actually, excuse me, 4. He had 1 against Philadelphia, 2 against Jacksonville, 1 against Tennessee. So that's how he found himself in the top 10. Rashard Jennings had the big 176-yard rushing game against Houston to catch both him in there. Now Davis obviously taking advantage of Jamaal Charles' work. And we talked about Matt Asiata. And so looking at the running backs who are not on the list, Jamaal Charles, Matt Forte, LeSean McCoy, Eddie Lacy, they're all going to be fine. Forte, his best matchup, his hardest matchups are behind him. McCoy's got that weak NFC East. Charles is just a flat-out beast. And Lacy, same thing. His toughest matchups are behind him. Now, granted, for Forte and Lacy, they are playing the NFC West. And so Lacy is yet to face the 49ers. Forte is yet to face Seattle in Arizona. But nonetheless, those guys are going to be fine. Victor, just real quickly before we move over to our running backs, also a couple quick notes on that running back tip. Outside of Monty Ball, Reggie Bush hurt his ankle yesterday, had a prime opportunity to cash in as the starter against Buffalo. You knew he wasn't going to do it on the ground. Bills 4th against the run, but hurt his ankle, only 6 rushes, 13 yards, so he's done. Mark Ingram is expected to be back off a hand injury in Week 7. The Saints have a bye this week. And Zach Stacy also hurt his calf yesterday in St. Louis. Don't know how long he's going to be out. Rashard Jennings also sprung his knee yesterday. He said it's not serious, but he likely will at least maybe miss the game. So talk to me, Victor, real quickly, before we move on to wide receivers. Any surprises in the top 10 for any other reasons besides I had said? Do you think any of the guys who are not in the top 10 who were on the list, Charles, Forte, McCoy, Lacy, any of those guys you need to worry about? And any suggestions for people who are looking to replace Monty Ball, Rashard Jennings, or Zach Stacy, even if it's for Jennings and Stacy, short-term, for Ball long-term?
I'll tell you this, Lance. Fantasy football has been, at least for the top first-round picks, have been sucking. But you mentioned why. You know, Charles injured, Forte rough schedule, Lacy rough schedule, so on and so forth. But one guy I want to mention, everybody, if you haven't gotten him already, and I've been trying to pick him up in different leagues, is Anton Smith. I talked about it a couple weeks ago, talked about it this past Saturday and this past Sunday. Young man, all he does is make big plays for Atlanta. He had one rush for 2 yards, one catch for 82 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, he's a boom or bust guy, but when he gets in, he produces. So, you know, you got to go get Benny Cunningham. I actually saw him on a few waiver wires. So if Zach Stacy's gone for a bit, you might want to get Benny Cunningham. And another person, I don't know if people are trying to get into the game tonight for the Redskins, but Roy Helu. The Skins might have to throw a lot in this game, and he's the passing down back, who's also getting a lot of time. So he might be somebody that a person might want to invest in as a backup or a replacement for a week or two until their player gets back. People outside of the top 10, listen, don't sleep on Ben Tate. Ben Tate made a comeback yesterday. And he looked rather good. Got it. It's against Tennessee. Understand. But Ben Tate is that guy that is going to make sure Isaiah Crowell and my boy, can't remember his name right now, Terrence West. Thank you. Thank you very much. Terrence West get limited touches. He looked in prime shape. He didn't look like he missed two, three weeks. And one last person, Carlos Hyde. Just keep an eye out on him. Other than that, I have no beefs or qualms with the top 10.
All right, let's move it over. Wide receivers, top 10, Antonio Brown, Jordy Nelson, C. Smith Sr., Julio Jones, Randall Cobb, Jeremy Maclin, Calvin Benjamin, Eddie Royal, Calvin Johnson, Dez Bryant, a couple guys who are on the come up. Alshon Jeffrey, like I said, he has been three straight weeks of either 100 yards or a touchdown. Vincent Jackson, definitely got some new life with Mike Glennon back there, and obviously Demaryius Thomas is definitely in that top 10 now after his big game yesterday. Keenan Allen, after getting off the schneid last week with 10 for 135, popped up missing again yesterday against the Jets. And looking at our wide receivers, obviously Calvin Johnson is the main guy who is hurting the runs right now. After an outstanding week one, 8 points in week two, where he dropped a touchdown at Carolina, 8 points in week three, in which he rolled his ankle against Green Bay. That was only 8 points last week, only 1 point at the Jets. Yesterday, no points at the Bills. He's going to miss next week's game, which is a perfect matchup at Minnesota. He's really hurt Matthew Stafford's value as well, but Megatron been a big disappointment. We're talking about this guy's going to end up going five straight weeks without a touchdown and a combined 1 point in three straight weeks. Have at it, Victor. Talk to me about the top 10 for some players on the come up. Calvin Johnson. Also, I wanted to mention real quick, Eric Decker, not that he was that important, but he missed yesterday with a hamstring. I don't think he wants to play, to be honest. But talk to me about these wide receivers, Victor. Top 10, any surprises, guys on the come up, et cetera, and so on.
All right. Our buddy, JT18 Money, Mr. Cash Out, he touted the praises of Antonio Brown, and he's been right. Best receiver in the league thus far. I would say, and this is just me being me, Emmanuel Sanders to me will be number two. I like Dez Bryant, A.J. Green, and all those guys, but I think Emmanuel Sanders did an admirable job taking on that number one role while Demaryius Thomas took a back seat. He received the most targets, the most receptions, and most yards outside of Antonio Brown. Megatron, again, this is the buy-sell moment. Do you want to sell him knowing that towards the end of the season, he's, or your playoffs and fantasy-wise, he's going to turn up? But you can't take a chance. You're trying to make the playoffs right now. So Megatron has been a big disappointment to me. Another big disappointment, and I don't think people should be disappointed in this. It's Pierre Garçon and Jackson. There's just too many mouths in D.C. to feed in order for one of them to become a top-tier wide receiver in fantasy this year. If one doesn't eat, the other eats. It's not a combination. The only time that both of those guys were able to both have productive games is when Pierre went. It was against Philly. Pierre had a lot of yards and a lot of catches and targets. and Deshaun had maybe six, but he had a long touchdown and 100-plus yards. That's the only time that the two were productive together. And that's a problem for me. So those are disappointments. Torrey Smith, of course, big disappointment. But I told everybody, Steve Smith Sr., I told a lot of people he went undrafted in a lot of leagues. But Steve Smith Sr. belongs top three, and I think you mentioned him at number three. But Brian Quick is moving up quickly. I think, and you pointed this out as well on the master plan yesterday, Lance, who is the third-string quarterback going to practice with? Third-string receiver, second-string receiver. What was Brian Quick? Second-string, third-string receiver. Number one receivers are falling off. Tavon Austin and Kenny Britt. Kenny Britt's still in there, but he's not as productive. Also, there's another guy on the come up. We talked about Andrew Hawkins up in Cleveland before. He's consistent. But then there's another Benjamin that stepped up yesterday for Cleveland and is becoming a good target for Brian Hoyer. Ladies and gentlemen, do not forget, week 10, week 11, Gordon will be back. Gordon will be back. And we'll see what type of shape he's in and stuff like that. But you got to look and see what's out there. Jeremy Maclin, I do believe, should have been in that top 10. He's been very productive as well. If he was, and I missed him, I apologize, but I think he's another guy that was just missed in that top 10. I'm not going to kill the time. Take it away, Lance.
All right, thank you for that. For me, looking at the wide receivers, Kelvin Benjamin definitely was a surprise in the top 10. Obviously, being a rookie, you don't have any type of expectations. As I talked about him, Victor, yesterday, he was a big disappointment for me with only 1 point. He had 38 receiving yards, 3 catches, but only 1 point because he fumbled. The silver lining, I told owners, though, he had 11 targets, so that bodes well for him. Eddie Royal's in there. He had 4 TD catches in a 2-week span. That's how he got in there. Maclin definitely was a surprise. We've been seeing that he's been able to come in and certainly give him the same production that Deshaun was. Disappointments for me, Keenan Allen. I certainly don't understand why he's not been more of a viable asset. Did have a hamstring injury first couple weeks, but another guy too, Andre Johnson. I used to play wide receiver. That's why I turned to basketball by the time I made it to college because I played in a city where passing of the football just wasn't favored. It was all about running. And I can tell you, it's nothing, not a worse feeling in the world being a wide receiver, running out every play and the ball just not coming your way. So Andre Johnson, who was a top 10 fantasy receiver, has just been a huge bust this year. 5 points a game yesterday and 25 of those yards came on a late screen pass. I just don't get it. He's just taking up a lot of space. So him and Keenan Allen are the biggest disappointments in the top 10 for me. Moving on to our tight end, Martellus Bennett, 1, Delanie Walker, 2, Jimmy Graham, 3, Julius Thomas, 4, Larry Donald, 5, Antonio Gates, 6, Greg Olsen, 7, Travis Kelce, 8, Niles Paul, 9, Rob Gronkowski, 10. Guys on the come up, Dwayne Allen of the Colts, TDs in 3 straight weeks. Guys who are missing in action, where is Jason Witten and where in the hell is Jordan Cameron, tight end for the Cleveland Browns? To note from Jimmy Graham, suffered a shoulder sprain yesterday. The Saints do have a bye week, so he should be fine and ready to go when they come back in week 7 against Green Bay. Looking at this top 10, obviously Martellus Bennett being number 1 is a surprise. He was a top 10 ranked tight end. Delanie Walker, cash out. Jerry Taylor, that was his guy. Obviously a surprise at number 2. Obviously Jimmy Graham and Juju Thomas are mainstays. Larry Donald had the 3 TD game to catch the Colts come in. The thing you want to keep in mind for Donald, I know that he was unproductive pretty much up until that game last week against Washington, but he's averaging 8 targets a game. So it's not a fluke as far as what he can put up. Gates, he's been able to iron that out. Ladarius Green is an afterthought. Greg Olsen doing his thing. Travis Kelce, excellent long-term tight end fix for your team. Niles Paul, he's banged up. So him and Jordan Reed just seem to be getting an injury bug. You know Gronk was going to be there. Real quickly, talk to me, Victor. Top 10 tight ends, surprises, any shots, any players on the come up, any reasons why Jason Witten and Jordan Cameron are not doing anything?
Well, Jason Witten's a cowboy, so that's why he does nothing. That's my bias, but I'm sticking to it. Jordan Cameron, he's been dealing with a shoulder sprain and a shoulder issue from OTAs, and it's going to keep nagging him. So don't expect him to do too much until big play Josh Gordon comes back and teams can't focus on him. Some surprises, I thought Antonio Gates and Greg Olsen should be higher on this list. Greg Olsen has been carrying things for Carolina. Hence, you have an owner of a team, some of the Chicago Bears owner, Mr. Angelo, said that they traded away their best receiver when they traded Greg Olsen away. And at the time, he was their best receiver. And he's turning out to be Cam's best receiver next to Benjamin. So I think that he deserves a little bit more credit than what he's getting. Martellus being up there, listen, Martellus has been a benefit of three great players, giving him one-on-one opportunities against safeties and linebackers, and he's going to beat them. We got Alshon as well as Brandon Marshall on the outside. You got Matt Forte running the ball. Martellus Bennett should be in the top two or top three of tight ends. He receives a lot of targets. Very, very surprised and very, very happy about that because he went late in drafts, extremely late in drafts. Now, Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed pulled a hammy in the first game of the season. Niles Paul has done an admirable job in his place. And I noticed Niles Paul is like number 9 or number 10 on this ranking. And I can respect that. But Jordan Reed is a little bit more talented than him. That's why Jordan was a starter, and he could have produced more. Now, he's due to come back next week. They tried to bring him back this week, but his hamstring just wouldn't cooperate. So I say next week he'll be back, and it'll be a good team to match up against a hurting Arizona Cardinal linebacking corps. But people to look out for, I would say him. I would say Tim Wright, who yesterday had 11 catches on 16 targets. I'm going to say that again. The number two tight end for New England had 11 catches off of 16 targets in one game. I'm telling you, I don't like Braden. I don't like the Patriots. But if they get two very good tight ends going, you're going to see a lot of touchdowns come with those teams. Another disappointment for me is Greg Ebron. Eric Ebron. I don't understand why he hasn't been used more so in the passing game for the Lions. It's a real big disappointment for me because I think that he's somebody that deserves to be added in that passing game. And if Megatron is going to be out this week, and Reggie Bush might be out this week, Drake Bell is coming back from a concussion, you might need another pass-catching person. Ted, you got involved. But this will be a great opportunity for Ebron to step up and get noticed. Dennis Pitta's gone for the year. Graham for Houston hasn't done much. That's about it, brother. I just think a few people need to be moved up and a few people shouldn't be in there. That's just my opinion.
All right. So real quick before we get our quick predictions, before we head into Monday night football game here, your all-stud team for the first 4 weeks of the season. You got Andrew Luck at quarterback, DeMarco Murray, Marshawn Lynch at running back, Antonio Brown, Jordy Nelson at wide receiver, Martellus Bennett at tight end, the Eagles defense special team, Dallas' kicker, Dan Bailey at kicker. And this is the interesting thing. I would love to. I'm putting this out there. I have not got a response yet. I asked this last week. I want to know if it's possible. I'm probably going to have to hit up maybe, Victor, he's a stat guy. I'm going to have to hit up some of my people here on Twitter. But there is a realistic chance that you could have that lineup. You could have went to DeMarco Murray in the first round. Now, obviously, you couldn't have got Marshawn Lynch, but you certainly could have gotten Le'Veon Bell in the second round. You could have spent your third round pick on Jordy Nelson. You could have spent your fourth round pick on Antonio Brown. You could have spent your fifth round pick on Andrew Luck. You could have chose the guy Martellus Bennett pretty much when you wanted, the Eagles defense pretty much when you wanted, Dan Bailey pretty much when you wanted, and there were a ton of flex options with guys like Rashard Jennings went a little bit later. Obviously, nobody really was high getting Steve Smith, Jeremy Maclin. I'm just naming some of these guys for your flexes. So my question is, what percentage of fantasy football owners out there have that lineup because it was realistically attainable? I'm talking about looking at over 30 draft boards and seen where these players were going. And you could have, if you were a genius this year, which I don't think any of us, you didn't know it was going to pan out like that. And it's only 4 weeks. But again, Andrew Luck, DeMarco Murray, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Jordy Nelson, Martellus Bennett, Eagles defense, Phillip, and Dallas's kicker, you will be undefeated right now. So I'm putting that out there to everybody listening. I'm putting that out there to Victor. I'm going to get it my people on Twitter and Facebook. How many owners own that team? Other interesting stat is you could have Drew Brees. You could have had Jamal Charles and Monty Ball. You could have had Demaryius Thomas and Keenan Allen, Jimmy Graham as your starters, and you could easily be 0-5 or 1-4. That is very realistic, and nobody, absolutely nobody, would have seen that coming. Now, yesterday, I take that back. You probably had a chance to win yesterday if you had Demaryius and Drew Brees, even though Brees only had 18 points. But keep that out. You could have had Drew Brees, Jamal Charles, Monty Ball, Demaryius Thomas, Keenan Allen, and Jimmy Graham, and you could have came into yesterday's game at 0-4. That is unbelievable. And like Victor emphasized, as much as you want to be patient with these players, if you are 0-4 or 0-5 after this week or 1-4, you got some major decisions to make for your fantasy football team. Because, yeah, like you said, Megatron and some of these guys, they're going to be very a valuable asset coming down the playoff stretch. But by that time, you may not even be in the playoff running. It's still early, though. I will say that. And most leagues, most people aren't too far off of each other. Even if you are 1-4, there's probably some teams who are 2-3. Or if you're 2-3, there's some teams 3-2. But we got to make some key decisions. Now, real quick, before we get out of here, make sure to join me every Monday night. I am the NFL Explorer. We got Victor Gardner in the building. We're shouting out our man Cash Out, Jerry Taylor. Make sure to join us every Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for the Extra Point. We review everything that we do on the Master Plan. Make sure to join us every Sunday at 10 a.m., same station here, to hear our predictions. We come back on the show today and recap our predictions. Today's show, which is what we're going to do every 4 weeks, is recap and look at the top 10 players at each position and go a little bit in depth about success and why not. You can find me on Twitter at NFL Exporter, Facebook.com/NFL Exporter, and you can go to YouTube.com, click on channels, NFL Exporter, that's spelled NFLEXPORTER. Make sure, again, join me next Monday, 7 o'clock. It's the Extra Point. Use the call-in number. I'm here. Victor, real quick, we got 2 minutes left. Give me the top scorer for Seattle tonight, the top scorer for Washington.
Top scorer for Seattle, Percy Harvin. I believe he'll get maybe a touchdown or two for Washington. Believe it or not, I believe it's going to be Alfred Morris. They're going to run the ball. And just to throw one little thing out there, Lance, you can get Marshawn Lynch in the second round. I did. I got him in the second round in 3 leagues. So it's a possibility of having that stacked lineup if you draft it a certain way. So it's very possible. But I have Alfred Morris being the big point getter in this game, as well as Percy Harvin. So. And I'm picking
all right.
Teams, by the way.
All right, no problem. For me, I'm going to go with Marshawn Lynch for Seattle. I am going to go with, let's go with DeSean Jackson. Let's say he finds himself to a big game tonight. Let's say he has 95 yards and a touchdown. Marshawn Lynch, I'm going to give him $110 on the ground, 2 TDs. As always, we'd like to thank everybody for joining us each and every week. Make sure to go to Victor's page. That's Twitter, at FanSportInPaul, so you can make sure where to find out how to hear this show. Again, outside of on Blog Talk, we have a couple of other websites where you can hear the recap. Enjoy Monday Night Football. Enjoy another great week of football. We will see you all respectively this upcoming Sunday and Monday. The NFL Explorer, it is the Extra Point, signing out, 1100.
And here we are. It all comes down to this. Tied ball game, no time left on the clock. With one more point, they'll pull out the win. Here's the snap. Holder puts it down. The kick is up. And the extra point is good. The NFL exporter has done it again.